chocolate, scotch, wine. What do they all share in common? Josh likes them. No. Scotch? Anyway, all of them have different levels of complexity, how rich they are. You know, rich can often mean wealthy, but rich can have a totally different meaning, a rich chocolate. You can have a scotch. I'm not suggesting scotch. Can we talk about bourbon, please? You can have like a bourbon. You can have a wine that's complex, that has a body to it. It's rich. It's a rich wine. And then you know that, remember that chocolate where you can take a few bites and you're chewing it and like it leaves that like oily, like greasy film in your mouth? You know what I'm talking about? It's like you just say like some sort of like plastic. Yeah. But then you have like the real serious rich chocolate. It's like it tastes very good. He's like a good aftertaste, you know? Yeah? You with me? Yeah? It's a very rich chocolate. Scotch. Scotch can be there, you know. But the Shaila is, are we as rich as our chocolate? Are we as complex as our scotch? There is a difficult Rashi. In this week's Parsha, in Bo, you find Moshe Rabbeinu beginning all of the Makis. But that's not what happened in Va'era, right? What happened with the first few Makis? It was Aaron. Why? Come on. Because it wouldn't have been kedai. It's not appropriate, worthwhile, something like that. For Moshe Rabbeinu to be the one to begin. So Makis. Where's the sledgehammer? Because Moshe Rabbeinu was saved by these things. By the water, by the earth. Yeah? Yeah? So how do you relate to this medrash? What does that mean to you? Really? Inanimate objects? They're going to feel insulted? They're going to feel bad? Cover the challah. Yeah? Challah's going to feel bad because really, challah should get the first bracha before the wine, right? You make a motzi before a gafen. I'm embarrassed. The challah. In fact, just a couple of weeks ago, I saw the crackers at the Kiddush turn red because no one covered them for Kiddush. I was going to spill the wine on them. No. Anyway, what do you get out of this? What's with this measures? For real? For real? Really? Daniel, really? We're worried about the water getting insulted because it saved Moshe Rabbeinu's life? A chutzpah! I saved your life, but now you're going to turn me into blood? A chutzpah! I'm not doing it. What's going on? What do you say? Come on, so the answer is obvious, no? So what's the answer? No? Well, so I'll ask you another question. Is this nogeya lahalacha? Does this come up lahalacha, or is it just like a cutesy idea? And we don't know what the cutesy idea is, yeah? But does it come up lahalacha? Can you think of an example? Chala. What else? Have you heard learning Daf Yomi? In the Daf Yomi, we're doing Sechs Brachas. Brachas, it has an amazing sugya. Gemara says, Rechia and Miryanasan were talking and learning in a cemetery. I don't really know what they were doing in the cemetery. They couldn't have been too close to any of the kvarim because you can't really like learn in a cemetery. But it said maybe they weren't learning. Maybe they were just discussing something. But they had a shaka v'taria in a cemetery. And Rabbi Yonah's sons, Tcheles, the Sitzas, were dragging on the ground. I guess on one of the kvarim, somebody buried there, and his sitzas are dragging over where the person's buried. Yeah? Amar le Rabbi Chiya Delaya, pick up your tzitzis. Kidei shel yomru, so that they won't say, lemachar bo'in etzlenu. Tomorrow, they're going to be with us. And now they're making fun of us. What's Pshat Liwar? What was Pshat? The dead people can't do mitzvahs anymore. So you take your tzitzis, you know. Anybody ever wake you like that? Or you're sleeping and you wiggle the tzitzis? Yeah, in shul. Yeah, during the Rabbi's Joshua? Good for him! Anyway, so the Mason are all upset. They're saying, yeah, tomorrow they're going to be here with us. But today, making fun of us. Pick up your tzitzis strings. Wow. So, Rabbi Yonason responds, Umi yadi kolei hai? Do they really know that? They know that my tzitzis are dragging on them? Like, they know? And the Gemara proceeds to the whole page to try to prove whether or not the Mesim know what's happening in the world. And even if they do they care?
Well, that's the whole also the Rosh Hashanah story.
Yeah. That's the Rosh Hashanah story. That's where it is. So, the Rosh Hashanah story is Hahu Chassid. There was a certain Chassid. He's called a Chassid. Not too many people get that title. And not Chusid. A Chassid, yeah. And he got into a fight with his wife. And he went to sleep in a cemetery that night, which was the night of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah grew a sign, like I pointed out last one. See, he said, not Pshat. His wife threw him out and said, go sleep in the cemetery. Not Pshat, his wife threw him out at all. Pshat is that he got into a fight with his wife, and he felt that he needed to work on himself. And so he went to sleep in the cemetery. So that he would remind himself that he's going to die and he better shape up. There is a crazy story of Galinsky. He, when he was in Yeshiva in Europe, so he decided, I don't remember, it might have been actually also on Erev Rosh Hashanah, I remember, he went for Shana Yom Kippur or something like that to go to the mikveh, but he decided that he wasn't just going to go to any mikveh, he was going to go to the mikveh in the cemetery. Yeah, they have one where they take the dead bodies and they do what's called a tahara, and then they put the body in the mikveh. So he decided he was going to the mikveh in the cemetery. So it was late at night, you know, everybody's sleeping after the meal or whatever it was, and he goes to the mikveh in the cemetery and he gets in the water and he feels another body in. And he jumps out, and another guy jumps out too. I says, "What are you doing here? What are you doing here?" That was a Maisa Shai. It was Rabbi Galinsky. But in any case, what?
True story.
True story. Galinsky. No. So from Bnei Brak. Anyway, so Gemara says, "Ahu Chassid, he went to sleep in the cemetery, and he heard these two ruchos, these two spirits, these neshamas that were talking to each other. And one said to the other, come, let's go fly, let's go float, me'achoria pargod, from the other side of the curtain, so to speak, and hear what the announcements are going to be for the upcoming year. Rosh Hashanah, that's when everything is determined. Let's go hear what the announcements are for the upcoming year." And so one of the girls says, I can't, I'm buried in a mat of reeds. I don't know what that is, why can't she fly if she's in a mat of reeds? I don't know, but she couldn't go. So she says, you go listen and tell me what is going to happen. So the spirit goes and comes back and tells the girl that in the first part of the year, the crops are going to get ruined, there's going to be a big whatever. So he's overhearing all of this, the chassid. So he says, what? So he doesn't even bother planting the first part of the year. He plants later, everybody else's crops get ruined, and he's doing great, and he makes a lot of money. So next year, he had a fine relationship with his wife, and he went to sleep in the cemetery. Anyway, that was for parnasa reasons. So he, again, same thing happened. Let's go hear what's going to happen. I can't. I'm very mad. He's good. Time come out. So she goes. She listens. She comes back. This time, it's the opposite. That whoever plants the second part of the year, they're just going to get ruined. And whoever plants in the first is going to do well. So everybody learned from the previous year and figured, well, it's going to be the same. And so everybody planted the second part of the year. And this time, he got rich again. Third year, he goes back to do it again. Third time's a charm. And this time, the girl is buried in the mat of reeds, says, we should stop talking like this because our words are already being heard amongst the living. So we're like, you see that they know what's happening in the world. So the Gemara says, nah, somebody died and told them, they were all fine. So the Gemara gets out of it. In every single one of these stages, the Gemara gets out of it. When the Gemara is done, Yitesh Amar Aleph and Brachas, the Gemara has this line, Amar Yitzchak, Kolam Esaper, whoever says negative things after a dead person, meaning after the dead person, meaning when they're no longer alive. So if a person has negative things to say,
Kobe Bryant.
after the person died, Kiyilu Masaber Achayah Evan. I'm just waiting for somebody to say something. It's as if somebody asked me the shayla yesterday, and I don't really know the answer. Someone asked me, halacha lemaisa, you're supposed to say dayan ha'emes after bad news. So what is the geder of bad news? Anything is bad news? You know, it's not pshat that you just make a dayan ha'emes just because, you know, a person, a tzaddik died or a Jew died or something like that. Bad news. So, you know, is this considered bad news that one should say dayan ha'emes on? Uh-huh. Anyway, it's certainly tragic. But the Gemara says whoever speaks negatively about a mace after he dies, because he's a mace, he's dead. So it's got kekilu masabar chaya evan. It's like talking about a stone. So Gemara says, what pshat in stone? Yeah, it's like you just down. You know what's pshat in the chah? So two possibilities. One possibility is the leyadi, that they don't know. Rocks don't know anything. Vika the amri, other people say no rock in terms of the consequence, not in the essence. The yadi v'leichbas lehu. They know, but they don't care. So wait a minute. Who here has been to a cemetery? Almost everybody. Any kohanim here? So, what do they tell you to do with your tzitzis? Ever happened? You got to tuck in your tzitzis, yeah? The halacha is you're not allowed to wear your tefillin. All kinds of halachas. Why?
Tuck in it all the way? Like Sephardi?
Well, that's a good question in a strict halacha. The minig is that everyone tucks in their tzitzis all the way. Why? It's this gemara, right? It's this idea. It's called lo eg larush. You're making fun of the poor, the people that can't do mitzvahs anymore. But what's the conclusion of the gemara?
They don't care.
So that's Moshe Rabbeinu, right? That's the same exact idea. What the water is going to care? Challah is going to turn red. So what's the pshat? And this is halach lemaisa. Yeah, we've all heard of it, done it, whatever, yeah? So what's the pshat? What does this mean to us? It goes back to chocolate and bourbon, scotch and wine. It's all the same thing. What do you mean it's all the same thing? It doesn't make a difference. Okay, let's start from the beginning. Sometimes you have people that you know are super sensitive. So we have a responsibility to take that into account. We have no right to say, well, they're just oversensitive, so I don't have to be sensitive and caring to them. It doesn't work like that. If you know this person is going to be sensitive about it, so you have to take that into account, right? That we can all agree to, right? But what happens if the person really doesn't care? Is there any value to reminding ourselves or acting on a sensitivity when the person doesn't really care? So the answer is, yeah, that's the message. That's the message. The water doesn't care. The earth doesn't care. The mason don't even care. So then why do I care? I care because I need to remind myself to be sensitive. Let's focus on the message of the Gemara and Brachos for a minute. What's the message over there? What are we trying to do by not dragging our tzitzis, by not leaving them open, our minute, by not leaving our tzitzis out in the cemetery? What are we trying to accomplish? What's the message? What's the message? What? So what are we? So I'm saying. So I did it, right? I tucked in my tzitzis, and now you know I leave the cemetery. I'm untucking them. What changed in my life? What was the message that I just sent? What was the sensitivity? But they don't care.
But there are people who do care.
Okay. Interesting, Shaila. Are you allowed to wear your tefillin, wear your tzitzis in front of a woman? What about a goy? Is that an issue of Loic LaRush? You're making fun of them because they don't have that mitzvah. You're saying, well, women are different. They could, you know. Yes, they are. But it's an interesting shayla, you know. What about Rahman al-Itzlan? What about a person that doesn't have an arm?
Can't they put on the other arm? Why is
it can't? The weakest one, by definition. The weaker, very weaker arm. So then what? You're not allowed to wear a tefillin in front of them? Such a thing. Interesting job. We did, right? A long time ago. So wait a minute, but so what's the message in this particular case of the mace? Of Loeg LaRush? So the answer is because we want to reinforce within ourselves, of course, the sensitivity to others, but the message of you can't do mitzvahs when you're dead. Right? That's the idea. Remind ourselves that you can't do mitzvahs when you're dead. The sensitivity of Moshe Rabbeinu to the earth is that, but this was the way that a Kaddish Baruch Hu saved me. I need to remember how a Kaddish Baruch Hu saved me. So it's not so much about, oh, I'm worried about insulting. It's not at all about insulting the other person. It's about how I see the object, what the object means to me. It may not mean that to anybody else on the face of the earth, but that doesn't matter. Because we need to live a rich life. We need it to be complex. We need to be able to see it, and it should mean a tremendous amount to us. So that when we're in the cemetery, we're talking to our sisters, it should mean, you know, I'm doing this because this is my chance to do mitzvahs. How much longer am I going to... I can't imagine. What's the name of that city in China right now that's like under siege? With an M? What's the, do you remember that city? I don't know. There are 11 million people locked up in a city. Everyone's wearing masks. It's like a horror movie.
Oh,
Wuhan. However you pronounce it, yeah? The only way you're allowed out is like certain trucks are allowed to go out to get medication to come back. It's under siege. What does it mean to live life? To be able to not be terrified of things? And to, you know, I mean, you hear things like that, it should mean something to us. When you see a stool and it has three legs, stool with three legs. But you know that's the avos, right? Yesod, Torah Voda, Gemilus Chasadim. These are the yesodos of the world. Because you can't, a foundation takes three things. So you can look at a stool and you can be thinking about, wow, it's amazing. Three things hold things up because that's what it means. Torah Voda, Gemilus Chasadim, Avram Yitzchak. Yeah, you can see the avos. And what about a table that has four legs? Oh, the mos. There's a famous story where Rav Soloveitchik used to tell over something like this, that it was Yom Kippur and he was with his father, Rav Moshe, and it was getting towards the end of the day and they looked out the window or they were outside, I don't know, whatever the case was exactly, and they saw the sunset together. So what do you see when you see a sunset? So at the end of Yom Kippur is when the kapara happens. Not the beginning, it's at the end. So when does the day end? So he's like, Bein Hashmasha, so you get all technical, you know? But Rav Moshe saw in the sunset, with this sunset comes kapara for Klal Yisrael. That's what he saw in the sunset. In the end of a couple of Masechtas, so there's that famous story through Rabbi Akiva and all the other Chachamim, remember? And they get to the Mokom HaMikdash and it's in ruins. And what do they see?
Fox.
This shual, fox, weasel, whatever it is, that's, you know, prancing around, running in and out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim where it used to be. Yeah? Dome of the Rock, you know? He's running around, and everyone starts to cry. Rabbi Akiva starts to laugh. They say, "Chutzpah, how could you? Aren't you like a big rabbi? why are you laughing?" He said, "Why are you crying? A shul. Look at the destruction." He's like, "That's why I'm laughing. What do you mean? Because one nevuah is pinned on another, and once it hits rock bottom, it means there's nowhere else to go but up. This is the Binyan Beis HaMikdash." He saw in that shul the binyan Beis HaMikdash. It's being constructed right now. You know, sometimes it, you know, you get sentimental and the house is being knocked down, but it's because you're building a new one. So you're sad that the old one is being knocked down. But you're happy because now that it's knocked down, there's room to build the new one. It's on its way. So in the fox, Rabbi Akiva didn't see a fox. So the message, one of the messages over here, that Moshe Rabbeinu, he didn't want to do this, and all these things with the challah, and with the mesim, and all of these examples are examples, to, messages to us that we need to lead a rich life. We need to be rich. We shall be rich, especially in this way, yeah? That when we see things in the world, we shouldn't be seeing things just on a superficial level. You know, the superficial chocolate looks really nice, but it's all waxy. We don't want the waxy chocolate. We want the rich chocolate. We can see a lot of different things the way we look at things. It just depends on how we look and what we're looking for and what we're thinking about. So, I think that's an important message. We'll stop with that for today.